Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode of Good Calls. I'm Dean Blandino. The crew is all here. Social distancing again. We had that one in-person episode. And it was amazing.
It was the greatest 2 hours of our lives.
It was
in 2020.
It was the highlight. Of my 2020 post February. It was really just in Travis's garage, hanging out.
Talking about all the cool stuff I have in there.
Just going, Scott, you weren't there. You missed out, but we're back to Zoom. Scott, what's the latest on COVID? Let's start California and then let's go countrywide. What's the latest?
I mean, I've kind of just given up at this
point.
This will seg nicely into everything we have to talk about, but it was interesting. People were doing maps where it's like, where are cases still kind of going up and they're not doing so well? And where are they playing college football? And it's basically one for one.
Yikes.
But why does California, I mean, I feel like this state has been very proactive. Why are cases still going up?
I think it's just like the population size. Are you guys hearing
Joe, that? What are you watching?
What?
There's weird sounds, Joe.
I'm hearing like kids and then I just heard like a roar or something.
It sounds like,
are you watching Wild Wild Country over there?
No. There's like some animal sounds.
I don't hear anything. You hear us still?
Yeah, you don't hear that?
No.
Your phone might be like connected to a speaker or something, because it sounds like
this is our audio guy.
We're hearing what you were looking at on your phone right now, Joe. Yeah.
Huh.
Clear.
And we're gonna have to mark this NC-17.
Good audio guy. So
I thought it was me for a second. I'm like, am I going crazy? What's going on?
I got a notification that they might suspend ride shares in California.
Well, I got that today too.
That's not related to COVID. That's Uber and Lyft.
It's not related to COVID.
Because it's
based on the employee.
Yes. California has legislation that's going to possibly make contract workers like that have to be covered more, like as an actual employee. So Lyft and Uber are threatening to leave California if that goes through. Sure.
I mean, right now it's not, but they can't leave California.
Well, also, it's like the timing isn't really like, there's not a lot of leverage for them threatening to leave where it's like, all right, no one's using them anyway.
No one's using them now, but we're all going to, like, hopefully in you know, whatever time we're going to need them again. And because I don't want to start calling cabs.
No.
Cabs, yeah.
All right. So NFL. So really not... You know, not a ton going on. Camp started in terms of, right, they've padded practices this week. Knock on wood, the news, you know, the testing, this protocol seem to be going well. And so not a ton going on there. There was some officiating news. The league, you know, it was reported that the league has done away with the full-time officiating program. Look, this thing... When I was at the NFL, you know, and I was head of officiating in 2013, and we had full-time officials, like a program in place. We started to go through an application process. We started to interview. We were in the process of hiring full-time game officials. It's gone back and forth. The league wanted to incorporate that in their new CBA with the officials, and they actually hired 10 full-time officials this offseason. They had an application process, they had an interview process, and there were 10 officials that were going to be full-time. And then basically they just pulled the plug. They cited costs. And so there will be no full-time officials in the NFL this year. We'll see, you know, they're going to cite costs as this COVID-related. I would imagine anytime the league cut costs, it's going to be related to COVID, and so that's the deal with that. They did have five officials opt out for the 2020 season. They had to hire additional officials. What's going to be interesting is you're going to have no preseason. You're going to have an official coming directly from college that has never worked an NFL game and is going to be out there week one working an NFL game, NFL rules, and not having that preseason. So it's going to be a steep, steep learning curve for these officials and all of the officials without a preseason. But everybody's in the same boat, players, coaches, no one has the preseason. So five did opt out. It was funny, of one of the five that opted out, that the league let go several officials in the offseason based on performance. And the union, the NFLRA represents the game officials. They filed a grievance on two of those officials. The union won that grievance. And so two of those officials were reinstated for the 2020 season. And one of those officials that was reinstated opted out. So this guy went from being fired to guaranteed a job in 2021. Because of COVID. That is making the best of a bad situation. I feel like that's something Joe would pull off. Joe would be like slick like that. But that's the deal.
So some people maximize their opportunities.
Maximize the opportunities.
Yeah, you definitely can't be upset with the guy.
No, I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. But and look, here's the deal. Everybody, full-time game officials, it's not. There's a misconception there. Game officials.
What's the benefit there?
Yeah, NFL officials work, right? Baseball umpires work. They work the games that they're scheduled. NBA referees work the games they're scheduled. NHL referees work the games that they're scheduled. There just happens to be more games every week. There's more games in those other sports. NFL officials work the games that they're scheduled once a week. And during the week, and that's the way football has always been. So during the week, what are they going to do? Sit around? No, they're going to have other jobs, right? And, they can watch film. Yeah, you're not going to have game officials, NFL officials working practice every week. A, this year, they can't even work practice. You're not going to have additional people at practice under these protocols.
Right.
But you can't, they're going to be working practice and then working games. That familiarity can create issues. They are as full time as they're going to get, and I don't know, labeling them full time, to me is more of just a PR thing. You're still going to have officials that make mistakes, and you're still going to have officiating issues whether they're deemed full time or not. But they do put in a lot of time into their craft. They spend full time hours on officiating all during the week. And then on the weekends they're gone and they're at the city and putting in the work. So it's, I don't know what full-time officiating gets us personally, but that's just how I am. Joe's a part-time audio guy and he's one of the best in the business.
The best.
Right?
The best.
College football. So college football, Scott, you were saying, right? So the ACC is planning on playing.
Mm-hmm.
UNC, who's in the ACC, right? They were going to have kids on campus. Then there was a rash of positive tests. Now we're going to be online, but UNC has said we are going to participate. What else is going on? Notre Dame, right? Same boat?
Yes, yeah. So UNC, they're being a little coy about actually the total number of cases, but UNC's school paper had a headline that said, this is a cluster. Wait, we can swear on this, right?
Yeah. It just has to mark it explicit.
Unfortunately, that the headline was it's a clusterfuck. So mark it explicit. In the student paper. And now Notre Dame, they actually, I think the president of Notre Dame had an editorial run in the New York Times a few weeks ago saying, hey, we're going to have kids on campus, but then, Notre Dame's moving to, I believe, a distance learning for 2 weeks now because of undergrad outbreak. So, these are schools that have football plans, too. So,
Notre Dame's going to play in the ACC. Obviously, North Carolina's in the ACC. This is, you know, we're coming to crunch time where, you know, the SEC, the Big 12 and the ACC are going to have to make some decisions pretty soon. The SEC is scheduled to start September 26th. So they pushed back. I think the Big 12 released part of their schedule. I don't know if Travis, you can find out when they're scheduled to start. ACC, I think, is pushed back. But hey, the Sun Belt is scheduled September 5th, baby.
Yeah.
Sun Belt football.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing is, I believe it was the Alabama AD tweeted out the other day. It's like a photo of people. I believe it was in Tuscaloosa, of people just kind of waiting in line. And it's like, hey, these people don't want, or the exact thing is, who wants college sports this fall? ? Obviously not these people, because it was just a big pack of people. And I will say, I think that's really the big concern, I think, because student athletes also were tweeting. I believe it was Auburn athletes that were like, hey, we're back on campus and no one's wearing masks. And for a lot of these guys, I do think they'll follow the rules. We joke about, hey, they're going to go out and party, but they want to play. I believe the majority will follow the rules. But what can they do if they have to go to a class where someone has been just partying all weekend and has it and is spreading it in the classroom? You know, so it's kind of out of their hands a lot, because even though they'll mostly stay together, they'll mostly be eating together, you can't walk around a college campus.
You're on a college campus, and not everybody's going to abide by the rules. And I agree with you, Scott. I think these student athletes, they want to play. There's so much. You look at what's happening with the Big Ten and Justin Fields from Ohio State, and they're putting together. He put together a petition, over 250,000 signatures. Parents want to go to the Big Ten office and meet with Commissioner Kevin Warren. There's been some, you know, obviously high profile coaches like Jim Harbaugh and others that want to play, Scott Frost. And then there was some confusion as to whether the Big Ten presidents even voted to, you know, postpone the season. And there was some question, and I know the president of Minnesota had come out, and I can't remember her name right now, but she had come out and said, and it was an interesting quote, because I think she said, I want to be perfectly clear. I'm unclear as to whether we actually had a vote. And so there just seems to be so much going on. And these kids, they want to play football. There's a lot riding on this. Think about not just the small percentage that are going to go play in the NFL, but if this is your last year of eligibility, right, to not be able to experience that and go out and play your last season, that's a big deal. And I agree, those kids are going to abide by the rules, the majority of them, but not everybody on a college campus. And obviously, from that picture, I saw that picture. I mean, no one's social distancing.
Well,
no one's
the problem too is just, that's why, you know, as administrators in these colleges, they are choosing to forego students on campuses, certain schools, because, I mean, college students are not going to, it's impossible to tell, like, you know, if you have a full campus, it's like 30,000 students, no one go out and party, like all stay inside.
Never going to happen. Hang out, right? Like, it's impossible. It's impossible to, you know, you've got in dorm rooms, they're you don't have one person per dorm, you know, like maybe four suite mates, the whole deal. So that's not easy to social distance.
And I'm not really even blaming this students. It's like, look, you're sending us off. And this is the first time, a fourth of those people will ever have been away from home. What do you think is going to happen? And it's not even necessarily like nefarious. It's just like they're on their own. They've got a lot of time on their hands. You can't expect them to stay in a room the whole time.
That was the shock for me when, you know, going to college, like the time you have, right? You think you're in high school and you go whatever you see, like 8 a.m. to 3 o'clock, right? You're in school. And then if you're doing after school activities, if you're playing sports, right? You go to college and it's like, okay, I got this class Tuesdays and Thursdays for an hour and a half. And I got this class. And if I'm doing 15, even a full course load, 15 credits, how many hours am I doing a week? Right.
Yeah. You could legitimately have Mondays and Fridays off, have 4 day weekends. You
know, that's how I scheduled my schedule.
Of course.
Like, it's like, hey, I'm like, I'm doing no classes on Friday, no classes before 11 a.m.
So you could go out, like you said.
And then you're like, I'm not going to go to class. Right. It's not like high school where, you know, it's, you could just not show up. Obviously, you can't show up five, six times in a row. You're not going to pass the class, but you could take one class off every couple of weeks, and it's not a big deal. Like, you're on your own.
I was a history major. I barely showed up to any classes. All you have to do is read the books. Yeah. And I didn't even do that, really.
Well, we went to college in different eras. Like, when I was in school, you know, the internet was not readily available where you had to actually go to the library, get the book, or go to the microfiche. Okay. Which if you don't know what that is, Google it, because now you can Google it. When I went to school, you couldn't Google.
Can you spell that for us? I was still in school when, you know, there was just books. That was the option. But I just mean, you know, if you're a liberal arts major, you can kind of slack off. I had all those friends who were, you know, they had hard science. And I'm like, you're studying a lot.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, I was a broadcast major. You had to go to class. I went to a small school. You had to go to class, but it was not difficult.
Yeah.
Just being there was pretty much your grade.
Yeah, so hey, keep that in mind.
Not to break up the nerd talk, but Maeda's going in the ninth with a no-hitter.
I know. I was going to say that. I was going to say former Dodger, as Dean's wearing his Dodger hat, current Twins picture.
Yes.
Maeda's great. I loved Maeda. He was a great pitcher for us.
No, going in nine. I guess
So they're letting him finish it out too.
Well, it's the bottom of the eighth. They're batting, but I don't see why they take.
Well, we're going to talk a little baseball later. Let's, before we go to break, Travis, can we have a moment of silence for the CFL? 100 years of the Grey Cup.
It's a sad day with their long end zones and their wide receiver that starts running before the play. Like, it's.
I think that's the coolest thing.
It's cool. Joe, I'm with you. Cool. I wish the NFL would allow that.
Yeah.
Why don't they, Dean?
Allow the receivers to be in motion.
Yeah, the running start.
You know how hard that is? You know what type of, like, the CFL, it's a different athlete, right? The CFL, the receivers, the skill position players, it's a completely different athlete. If you allowed NFL receivers a running start like that,
could you imagine?
In the shorter field, you know what defenses would do? The type of collisions and things, it would be a shit show. It would be an absolute shit show.
Could you imagine Randy Moss with a running start against DBs back in the day? It would have been insane.
It's insane. The first 5 yards would be an absolute battle because you would try to get a jam, and it would be insane.
That'd be so cool.
All right.
SEC start date is the 26th.
SEC is the 26th. What is the Big 12 tentatively scheduled?
Stand by.
You obviously weren't listening because that's the one I actually had, the SEC.
I was looking at the Kenna Maeda. I was a Twins fan.
You guys yelled at me when I was watching the game during the
podcast. But it wasn't a no-hitter.
Yeah, but it was the game where they were throwing at the Astros.
But
yeah,
you also literally turn around. Like, you just leave the shot. You're just doing whatever. We don't know where you are.
All right. Well, when Travis will figure out, let's go to break. When we come back, he'll have it for us. I do want to talk a little NBA when we come back next on Good Call. Right, we're back on Good Call. Travis finally found when the ACC is scheduled to start, or the Big 12, September 12th.
I was still looking at the Kenna Maeda.
Oh, God. All right. Kenta Maeda is pitching a no-hitter right now in the ninth inning. Okay. So
non-conference games for the 12th of September.
12th. Okay.
Yeah. And then the 26th is when they'll start their conference game. Like, non-conference games. How are they going to play non-conference games?
Well, I think there's the SEC, the Big 12, ACC. I think they did mention they want to play one non-conference game. All right. Well, moving on. You watch NBA playoffs. I'm excited. Joe, I think your Lakers might be in trouble.
No, they're fine.
I think Dame Lillard is Dame's like nasty. Everybody's on this hype train right now.
They're losing right now. And
the Blazers aren't. The Blazers aren't bad. Could this be the upset? Like, Lakers have not looked good in the bubble. I know they weren't playing for anything. They were locked in, but I'd love to see the Blazers beat
them. I mean, the Bucks lost today.
The Bucks did lose today.
Which that's a big one.
They were a 15-point favorite, and I think they lost by 12.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
That would be an incredible upset. That would
Lakers
be
are down by three in the third quarter. Or five.
So I think they're in trouble. But the game that caught my attention from an officiating perspective that got a lot of people going was the Mavs-Clippers game one, with basically Kristaps Porzingis, former Knick, who didn't want to play in New York. So I don't, karma's a bitch. But he got teed up early, and he had a clean block. And look, the officials called it. He had a clean block. He reacted and got teed up. Can you hear this?
Back there in Santa Monica.
Actually, in the main streets of SM. Somebody might have fell down a flight of stairs or
a Botox emergency.
It's life alert.
Every 11 minutes.
Every 11 minutes.
Saves a life every 11 minutes.
All of them are in Santa Monica.
And it feels like they're all in Santa Monica. Every 11 minutes, it's another life alert saved. So Porzingis gets teed up for, I'm not an expert in NBA. Those guys have a hard job. If not the most difficult, it's one of the most difficult sports. The guy's circling my block right now. Like, he's not even going.
No, he's just stopped in your front door.
And it's a really hard sport to officiate. It's a hard game to officiate. But I think that the technical fouls, I thought it was a soft technical. He reacted. He thought he got a clean block. And then you come back and there's a little bit of a kind of a tussle. And he comes over and he pushes Marcus Morris and ends up getting his second technical and out of the game. That's your second best player in a really close game. And, NBA Twitter went off. And it's what's interesting is how NBA players are allowed to go on Twitter and critique officiating. In the NFL, you can't do that. In the NFL, if you started on, you will get fined for that. But NBA, players, they went off. That's a soft technique.
Patrick Mahomes chimed in. He said that's trash.
Well, Patrick Mahomes won't get fined for talking about NBA officials.
Okay.
If he did that for NFL officials, he would get fined.
He can afford it.
Yeah, he can afford it. But I've never seen a guy a better player that signs a contract that is going to give him and his family lifetime of security that took more shit for that contract that he could have got more. But anyway.
And then he went and bought part of the Royals too.
He did. Who's going to win the NBA? Who's going to win the championship this year?
The Bucks? I'm on Clippers.
Clippers?
You want Clippers? Lakers, man, of course.
Lakers, and that. Scott, who do you I know why.
I don't really like a lot of these teams. So to be honest, I'd love it if the Blazers just went on a run.
I think that'd be fun. I think for me, don't sleep on the defending champs. I know they lost Kawhi, but Toronto's got
to. The East actually is now weird because Ben Simmons is out potentially for the entirety of the playoffs. Gordon Hayward, they just announced out for at least 3-4 weeks. Yep. The Raptors are good. The East is kind of open if the Bucks are not locked in. you know. So
if the Bucks get knocked out in this first round, that would be.
As much as I hate the guy, Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's clutch. The Heat looked good today, so.
Yeah, no, the Heat. I mean, Bama,
Adebayo.
They've got a good squad. The Goran Dragic. I mean, they've got. I think they could win that series.
You know that I said Toronto before this whole thing started, right?
Did you?
You know, it was on the episode. You said, what's the best value? And I said Toronto. And now you're jumping on my...
That was the in-person episode.
We did talk about good value.
That was the in-person one, yeah.
By the way, the no-hitter just got broken.
Yeah, Eric Sogard.
Stop talking about it.
Soft liner. Just over. Anyways.
Now if they just lose, it'd be fantastic.
No, we want the Twins to win.
So they can lose to the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just get there.
There's another theory that some people think about these technicals also. It's just that without the crowd noise, the players are heard a lot easier. So even swearing under their breath is going to be loud and the officials are going to hear it.
It's more evident as to what they're doing without the crowd noise. But they're actually doing a pretty good job. I saw, you know, with the virtual fans, when they're shooting free throws and you're on the road, technically, the fans are like waving and being trying to distract them, which is interesting. They're trying to make it as close to real life as possible, or, you know, real environment as possible. All right, can we throw out the baseball unwritten rule book? Can we just throw it out? Can we be done with it?
There's a few. And since there was a no-hitter going on, there's one. You shouldn't bunt to break up a no-hitter. That one, I feel like, is an unwritten rule.
But you can, every time a guy gets up that pulls the ball, you can throw nine fielders on one side of the field.
Yeah, I still think that's ridiculous.
You can shift and take base hits away that have been base hits forever, and you bunt. And if I bunt to beat the shift, or I bunt to beat a no-hitter, that's unwritten.
Well, bunt to beat the shift. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Bunt to beat it to break up the no-hitter. Yeah, that's kind of seems.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just I'm with Travis on just that specific one. But yeah, they're on the quote unquote. Okay, so
but the reason we got into this conversation is that the 3-0 Grand Slam.
They're up 10-3. Bases loaded, 3-0 pitch, right? And he swings and he hits a grand slam. And the Rangers, then they throw at Machado the next at bat, and the Rangers manager made a big deal. And even the Padres manager kind of backtracked, because he said that Tatis missed the take sign. And it's a learning moment for him. It's a learning moment for him that you can't miss those signs.
Wait, what was the score of the game?
10-3, bases loaded in the eighth inning.
They're up 10-3?
They were up 10-3. And it's a 3-0 pitch, and he swung at a 3-0 pitch. And he hit a grand slam, and the Rangers got butthurt.
He's supposed to literally just intentionally not get a hit.
Well, no, you're supposed to be taking a 3-0.
He's supposed to take the pitch.
No, I understand that, but they were pissed that he also hit the grand slam. Like, they were pissed because it's like the game's out of reach, even though it's not.
Well, I think that they're just pissed that he swung 3-0 and they're up 7.
Swung 3-0. But here's the thing. Why is that an unwritten rule? Why do I have to take a 3-0 pitch?
I don't believe that that's really I played baseball many years. I don't really think that that's an unwritten rule. Because I think you're allowed to swing 3-0.
Then the pitcher can groove one and I can't swing.
I think what they're saying is that at 3-0, when you're up 7, the game's pretty much out of reach. You shouldn't be giving the batter the green light.
But the manager said, the Padres said that they gave him the take sign. But to me, it's all bullshit. 10-3 in the eighth inning. So I did a little research. Okay.
So
what do you think is the some of the best comebacks? What do you think is the best ninth inning comeback in Major League history?
11 runs.
12 runs.
Ninth inning. Okay.
I mean, it's got to be big, because I've watched a lot of baseball, and it's like teams, you can really get go on a rally. I'll go one higher. I'll go 13 runs.
Okay. So 13 runs is a bit much, but there's been four times in Major League Baseball.
Well, I wasn't going to say the same answer as everyone else.
Four times. There's been four times in Major League Baseball history that a team has overcome an 8-run or more deficit in the ninth inning. Okay. So 8 runs or more in the ninth inning, right? In 1952, the Cubs were down 8-2 with 2 outs and nobody on in the ninth inning. And they won 9-0. You know what their winning percentage was? Down 8-2 with 2 outs and nobody on. It was .001, and they won the game.
That's a live bet. Live bet on that, right?
Yeah.
Phillies in 1990 were down 11-3 going into the ninth inning and beat the Dodgers 12-11. You know what's the record for the number of RBIs, number of runs batted in one inning by one player? You know what that record is?
I think it's 7, isn't it?
It's 8.
Ah.
So they were up 10-3, which is 7 runs, and the record for one batter in one inning is 8 runs. You know who that record is held by?
Oh gosh.
Reggie Jackson?
Nope.
Kevin Mitchell?
Nope.
I have no guess.
How about the guy that sired Fernando Tatis Jr.? How about Fernando Tatis?
Wasn't it really?
Hit 2 grand slams against the Dodgers in 1999 and won it.
That's amazing.
Wow. Right?
Yeah. So it comes down to, though, it's like, why do people like sports? Because there's all, you think you've seen it all, and then once in a million, something crazy happens, like a crazy comeback. Which is why you never let your foot off the gas. And the other thing is, I get it if this is a high school game or it's a team that's so clearly outclassing the other team.
Yeah, these are professional baseball players. Little League,
exactly.
Maybe. Yeah, not even high school. Little League, maybe.
Little League, right? Professional baseball players. You know what the most runs in the modern day era, the most runs in one inning scored? What do you think? One inning.
I don't know, 15? No, more than that. It's more than that, right?
18.
Travis, take a guess. 15, 18?
I got 19.
17. 17 runs in one inning. So I don't care. 10-3 is not insurmountable.
Well, can I ask a question? I don't know. What are the tiebreakers for this season? We're on a shortened season. You're going to have less games. Like, is run differential a tiebreaker to get into the postseason?
Okay.
I was just saying, if they had that, then yeah, let's swing 3-0 every time.
Rules more complicated.
But anyways, like, getting back to the core of this argument, which is unwritten rules. Baseball is by far the worst of the sports because every sport has quote unquote unwritten rules. Yeah. Every living life has those, but baseball, they're the most bizarre, and I think it in this era especially, they stick out the most because most of the unwritten rules tend to be silly and against, I guess, for a lack of a better term, fun, you know, where it's like it's about some weird sign of respect. And the other weird unwritten rule is let me throw the ball at a guy because they did it to us. Like, it's these weird accelerating things where it's not good for the game, really. And then this just brings a weird spotlight to baseball where
what are the unwritten rules? Like, what are the ones?
The unwritten rule they mentioned, right? The bunt to break up the no hitter. The bat flips.
Oh, the bat flip.
Watching your home run, not running it out. That gets pitchers upset. Those types of things. I think
stealing bases with a big lead.
Yes, exactly. Don't
it's like don't rub it in their face that they're losing. But you know what? That sells, man. There's a reason Conor McGregor gets watched by everybody.
And I agree with you, Joe, because the other thing is in sports, you need a hero and you need a villain. And it's not fun if you like, why are like the bad boys, like the Detroit Pistons? It's like the University of Miami college football team. You need people to quote unquote, like rub it in people's faces, because it makes a more compelling story. If everyone was, and I apologize to Mike Trout, I know he's a big fan of this podcast, but if you're, if every player was Mike Trout, it would be, I mean, it already kind of is. Baseball is, to me, pretty boring. There's a lack of personalities.
Mike Trout is will go down as one of the greatest players in the history of the game. But already in his young career, Fernando Tatis Jr. is way more interesting than Mike Trout. I mean, yes. He just nothing against Mike Trout. Nobody's telling you don't be anything that you aren't. But to Joe's point about Conor McGregor, right? Conor McGregor is as big as he is. Yes, he's had to back it up in the ring, but he's not the best fighter to ever grace a UFC octagon. You know, he's not, but he has easily surpassed. He's the most marketable and he's the most lucrative fighter to ever be in the UFC, because he combined that talent with that bravado and that image. And Mike Trout, that's just not who Mike Trout is.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it is just a thing where, It's just a little bit like it goes against how sports are these days, which is like bigger, larger than life entertainment. And a grand slam is really fun and it's cool to hit a home run. So it's very confusing, I think, for people where they're like, wait, why are people angry? Especially as I think Joe has already said also, it's like you're a pro athlete. If you don't want to lose, just be better or else keep. It's like, why are you complaining?
Because baseball has been, look at baseball, you know, the average fan, and that it's been the perception. I don't personally buy into that, but that it's a dying sport and it's no longer the pastime and everything else. This sport is going to be carried by people like Fernando Tatis Jr. and people that young people can get behind and watch and find interesting and cheer for. So you don't want to tamper that. You don't want to temper that. You want to encourage it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, and I think a lot of people came to his defense. Even Johnny Bench, who's, you know, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest catchers and players of all time, who came and said that, you know, tweeted that. And I love that Johnny Bench is on Twitter tweeting that, you know, what are you supposed to do? You take the 3-1 pitch, you take the 3-0 pitch. Now it's 3-1. The pitcher makes a great pitch on 3-1. Now you're 3-2. And then you hit into a double play. You know, why is that okay?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. You know, what's interesting. I actually played baseball, high school baseball with the Rangers, with the manager of the Rangers, Chris Woodward. He was our shortstop.
Yeah. He's the one that's caused all this issue.
Is he the one that's all fired up?
Who's the one that's all butthurt?
So our high school baseball coach was really big on that kind of stuff. And him and our high school baseball coach were like, almost like father and son. When he got the job, he wrote this big old thing about how our high school baseball coach, you know, helped him get there. And he was like always on the field with him and hanging out with him, you know, on the weekends and everything.
This is information you could have added so much earlier in the conversation.
Like, it's hard. Really, sometimes I don't know.
You've had like some serious pertinent information. Like, oh, guess what?
He didn't want to name drop.
Rangers. I used to play with him and
I don't like to name drop like you.
I name drop?
Oh my God.
I name drop? When do I name
Travis,
drop?
Travis, talk to him.
What, because I've hung out at Sylvester Stallone house?
By the way, the Twins game is now tied.
I know, it's tied.
Yeah,
oh, that's fantastic.
The one unwritten rule that I was involved in at the NFL, which I thought was kind of bullshit, was when Greg Schiano was at Tampa and on the kneel down, when they try to, it was happening against the Giants first, and they were taking a knee at the end of the game, and he had the defensive lineman play full bore, like go full in, try to get the ball, and it started a fight. And I thought that was kind of bush league. But other than that, I don't have a problem with anything.
Why don't they just make a rule, a written rule that says, hey, if you're gonna kneel, like there should be like a sign.
Talked about it, but ultimately they didn't wanna like legislate that play. They just said, listen, it is what it is. You gotta be ready to play.
Well, I think why don't they just like how they do the intentional walk now? instead of actually throwing the pitch, just say, "Hey, we're giving up."
I think what people had a problem with, and I know, you know, Tom Coughlin had an issue with, which I tend to agree. And I love Greg Schiano, and I think he's a great guy, but that hadn't been done in the NFL ever. And now he comes in as a college coach. No one is expecting it, and they do it. And it was just kind of the reaction, like, it's going to cause a fight. Like, it's going to, it's going to be an issue. And they did it. They did it more than once the first time. They ran it once, and then they ran it on the second one. It's like, you're asking for it there. And the likelihood that you're going to, the likelihood that you're going to get the ball, because you can't interfere with the snap. If you interfere with the snap, that's a foul. So the likelihood that you're going to get the football is so minuscule. That I thought was uncalled for in that situation. Then when everybody knew it was an issue, like teams were ready. Like, I remember talking to Jeff Fisher, and he's like, you know, if they try that, we're going to go into a kneel down, and we're going to run a, like, an option pass out of it. And we're going to pitch to the back, and we're going to throw, and my end is going to go deep, and we're going to score a touchdown in a game that's already out of reach, you know? So it just kind of led to that type of stuff.
The one last thing, the one unwritten rule about don't admire a home run. That one gets me so angry, because it's so just stupid. Especially it's just like you let him hit a home run. It's your fault as the pitcher. So, like, it's very weird that pitchers get to be angry.
Yeah, I agree with you. And not to mention, if you're a great player, you get 50 a year. Why not admire it? I mean, have you ever seen Dean after he blows his hair out? He just stares.
Yeah, and we understand.
You should be able to.
When he goes off the air after a great hit,
I get way more than 50 of those a year.
That's my whole point. Like,
300. If there's 365 days in a year, I get 350 really good hair days.
Wow.
All right, let's go to break. We come back. Joe's got some big news. All right, we're back on Good Calls. And Joe has some news for us. Joe is a very positive guy. He is.
Oh, boy.
Super positive. And he's the guy that, like, he's the hype guy. He's always going to make you feel good. He's very liberal with his compliments. I'm not good with compliments. And now, I don't know if you can hear, I got a skateboarder outside. But anyway.
Can or die.
But Joe got some news, and he is negative. Joe, would you like to share?
Well, yesterday was my birthday.
And well, happy birthday!
Thank you.
Happy birthday!
And for 22, my birthday,
happy Jackie Robinson.
Oh, okay.
And for my birthday, I decided to get a COVID test, and got the results this morning, and I'm COVID free, boys.
Congratulations!
So
that's what we want to hear.
Well, we think you might have caught it.
I definitely don't feel great. I don't know why.
Yo, we've got to be different. Everybody else is getting COVID. He's got to get modified.
I don't know. I have a sore throat and a little bit of achy muscles.
Swollen lymph nodes. That's not good. It does sound like mono.
Well, thank God that you're a history major and not a doctor.
I can tell you the history of mono.
Please spare us.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think I told you guys I've upped my Ben & Jerry's half-baked intake to 2 pints per week. I feel like I can, I've been eating pretty healthy. My portion control has been really good. So I can have the 2 pints, and I'm actually really struggling with this. How do I spread it out? Like, I want to spread it out and not have too big a gap between the pints, because it's something I legitimately look forward to. When I wake up and I know it's half-baked night, it's like legit changes my day. So I was thinking, initially I was thinking Friday, Monday. Okay.
That was my first thought.
Friday, Monday, it gives me one weekend night, like Friday, let's kick off the weekend, let's get crazy. And then a short window, and then I get Monday to kick off my week. And then, you know, I have the 4 day wait to Friday. And then I was like, well, maybe Saturday, Tuesday works better.
See, I think a Sunday, Wednesday is ideal, and I'll tell you why. I love eating ice cream, Sunday night, like to cap off my week, like almost like that glass of wine that some people have, like, oh, I'm done with the week. Give me the pint of ice cream.
Sundays, you're done with the weekend.
You're done with the week as well.
But, yeah, but I'm with Joe. I actually like Joe's because Friday, Monday is too close.
I initially thought that, but it's like between Friday and Monday, like Friday, you're like, oh, it's not too long after I eat that pint. I don't have to wait a long time.
Oh, and just to clarify too, this is your scheduling the day that you can just eat the whole pint, right? That's what we're talking.
There's no, yeah.
Yeah, Scott, that's, come on.
That's, I really don't eat any other dessert. Like that's it. Like, you know, like after dinner, I don't eat. That's it. So eat the whole pint. So Sunday, Wednesday. So that would mean I have to wait. I have a pint. That would mean I have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. So you go tomorrow and then you do, and you could, and if you really are, if Saturday night is really lonely, you could do a Saturday night instead of Sunday. So you could do Wednesday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Saturday in the event that Saturday is just not really, you need
a little flex schedule.
And I need it.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, I like that because it's like, if you need it, you can flex it on the weekday too. So it's just like, it's
like Sunday night football.
Exactly. Like, so it's like, you have one for sure during the Monday through Friday week, and you have one on that weekend, or I guess say Monday through Thursday. And then, you know, you have one Friday through Sunday. You want to try to stick to a given date. But like Joe said, you know, you had a rough Saturday or something. The Dodgers lost. You can just go in it.
And think about this during football season. It'll be like Sunday night. You had a long day in the cube. You get to look forward. And we might be recording Sunday nights again. You get to look forward to that pint once we're done with the Good Calls episode. Booyah.
Why don't we get so along the cube? Why don't we get ice cream for the cube, too? Like, I think that's an addition for this year.
No. Dude, I can't.
A soft serve machine. Up
No. We'll just buy some pints and put them in the freezer, and we'll eat them at some point during the day. I like the flex though. I like the Wednesday and then Saturday or Sunday because you can be like, oh, okay, Saturday I got this movie I want to watch, or Sunday you remember you want to watch a movie. You could just
something to look forward to, and you can get, you know, the hump day, and you kind of get through.
And nothing good happens on Wednesday, except now something good does happen on Wednesday.
I like that. I kind of like that. I feel my day, my Wednesday, I don't mind. My Tuesday's always been my kind of like and day, you know?
Just so you know, Lakers just took the lead, so just thought you should know that.
Brewers did?
No, Lakers.
Oh.
I think, and there's one other thing about the ice cream though, Dean. I really want you to expand your horizons flavor-wise. It doesn't always have to be half-baked.
Look, I've tried other flavors. It's not the same. It's just not. And I'm not going to waste a pint on, you know, whatever else it is.
Well, so are you against any other ice cream, premium brand ice creams in pints?
No, I'm not against it. I am partial to Ben and Jerry's. I used to be a big, growing up, it was like Breyers in a half gallon or Friendly's. And you go to Friendly's, and you guys don't know Friendly's, but Friendly's, and you get like a half gallon of ice cream or a big tub of ice cream. And then Ben and Jerry's came around and it was like, oh, cookie dough. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had chocolate fudge brownie. I was like, oh, that's amazing. You know what would be even more amazing? If they combine those two into one pint. And lo and behold, here comes half baked into my life.
Like, I do understand where you're coming from, because I had a Talenti the other night, like a chocolate coffee, and I put the whole pint down, but it wasn't.
It's not about those Vermont cows. I don't know.
What about? I mean, there's one in your areas. I don't love them, but Salt and Straw. I know they do. You never had it.
No,
there's one in your neighborhood,
Scott. We don't do the trendy stuff like that, dude. We just
it's really
if
good,
it's not though. A 7-Eleven.
At this point, it's not that trendy. It's just another ice cream spot.
You can't buy it at 7-Eleven. We're not in.
You can get it. You can get it at Whole Foods, and I know Dean is a big Whole Foods guy.
This is true.
I haven't gone to Whole Foods in a long, long time.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to either Bristol Farms, or now I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to Vaughn's.
Oh man, just a regular old grocery store.
Wow. He's slumming it at Vons.
I'm just going to
the
Vons.
The Keto grocery store is the closest one. Go to the closest one.
Vons is pretty close.
Yep. Bristol Farms usually has a... This is great podcast content. I'm sure everyone across the country is loving what grocery stores we like in West LA.
You know what?
The pandemic.
Last week's episode really inspired me this week. I went shopping at a Theory. I bought some beautiful pants.
Theory's got nice stuff. Theory
they do. Nice stuff. You inspire that. You were telling me how much you like Theory last week on the podcast, and Theory I happened to really be at a stuff. Theory outlet and got a black button up. We talked about that on the podcast too.
Great stuff. You know what else I did? There was a Shockwaves, at least in my life. Z-Dog has given up his rap career.
Who's Z-Dog? Can you explain who Z-Dog is?
Z-Dog is this Utah Jazz super fan. And he is famous, and he went semi-viral for a diss video. A Utah Jazz, I believe they were playing the Rockets in the playoffs. And he recorded a diss track against the Rockets, and I'm going to play it for you now.
Oh,
okay. So here's Z Dog, and just listen.
Yeah, Z Dog here. You know who it is? Clippers. They're so ugly.
Oh, the Clippers.
Man. DeAndre Jordan shouldn't be an all-star. Clippers are so ugly. They smell like weed. LA is the worst city ever. Johnson is the king of the Utah Jazz. Yeah. Clippers fans are disgusting. They smell like Popeye's chicken breasts. Yeah. Let's go Jazz. Playoffs, baby. Swept by my Jazz. Clippers are the worst team in the NBA. I don't know why they have to have a coach like Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a crybaby. His son, Austin Rivers, smells like weed. Clippers, you're so physical, but you're the worst team and the trashiest team in the NBA. But my Jazz are the best team in the NBA. They have their number one fan. His name is Z-Dog. Yo, that's me. That's me, Z-Doggy. Not Z-Caddy, but Z-Doggy. Jazz, number one fan, die hard. What up? The Clippers like making love to the referees. They don't deserve all the calls. I hope Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Jordan will beat the Clippers. Because the Clippers are the worst team in L.A. But my Jazz will sweep them in the playoffs. Playoffs. Yeah, Z-Dog alert. Jazz Nation, what?
Okay, we didn't probably have to listen to that whole thing, huh?
Absolutely.
No.
What are you talking about? The end was the best.
But he did get his wish. He did get his wish. DeAndre Jordan has left. Chris Paul has left.
Blake Griffin has left.
Yeah, they're all gone.
When the first time I saw that, I was, and it gets better every time. He's given up his rap career.
wait, did he officially retire?
That's the tweet I sent you. He gave up his rap career.
Why would he do that? That was so good.
That was the item on the rundown I kept putting on there because I had no idea what it was, but we just never talked about it until now. This was weeks ago that Dean sent us this one. Joe, you muted me. I was dying.
I know, because since you and Dean are on the same channel, every time you laughed, it would cut the audio to the Z-Dog.
No, that was smart audio engineering, because I noticed that also. So that was good.
You know, that's what I went to school for all those years, Scott. Thank you.
I can't, like, it's so amazing. It's so amazing.
This is a Z dog.
Let's go bring to Blandino. Oh my God. Z dog. I'm going to miss you.
It's really a tragedy that he's gone.
He's still tweeting. He's definitely still a fan.
Well, he's not. He's done rapping though, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but you know how those musicians, they always say they're done and then they come back with a new single.
All right, ready?
It hurts.
Brandon Blandino. Go-Go's Belinda Carlisle versus Heaven is a Place on Earth, Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, okay. If you grew up in the 80s, you know what I'm talking about. Does anybody remember when Belinda Carlisle, when the Go-Go's stopped and then there was a delay and then Belinda Carlisle showed up and did a solo album?
Yes,
you're gonna be. I think you're gonna be on your own on this one.
Did you just? Hey, by the way, Dean, did you just watch that Go-Go's documentary that Showtime did?
Yeah, that's what brought it up.
Okay,
so like the Go-Go's were amazing. I loved the Go-Go's, but they were like kind of like this, you know, this poppy fun group of girls. Just, you know, it's we're gonna have fun and all this stuff. And then Belinda Carlisle comes out in there's a solo album, and she was like. She went from this like poppy, happy, you know, girl band to sexy AF, like unbelievable. because I didn't want to say as fuck, and I should just say as fuck. But
just that entire line.
I know. But watch the Heaven is a Place on Earth video. She looks. Everybody was like, "Is that Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's?" And I was watching that documentary, and I just made me think of that. And she's still performing today.
So do you like that song? Heaven is a Place on Earth.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
I don't think I know that one.
You know it. Now. She's beautiful.
You know it, sure. Joe. I guarantee you've heard it.
I really was trying to get Dean to sing a verse for us, but
I sing so well that it would be a copyright infringement.
You've heard it.
A few bars.
I'm sure when you were a young man, you heard it at the mall.
Are there other artists? Oh,
dude,
that were
speaking in of
band and went solo and were like completely like, whoa, what just happened?
Well, Timberlake.
Yeah, he's always big though.
I guess you could say Beyonce. You know.
Yeah, but I think like Beyonce to me, like I always like.
You knew she was going to be big?
I knew she was going to be big. She was always, but like, it was like the Belinda Carlisle Go-Go's. It was like one of those movies where it was like, you know, one of those teen movies where it's kind of like the nerd and then she's wearing glasses and stuff. And then all of a sudden she takes off the glasses and lets down her hair. And you're like, oh my God, she's amazing. And that's what it was for like during that time. I just remember everybody being like, whoa, Belinda Carlisle looks, not that she didn't look, she was just, it was a different vibe. It was like this cutesy pop thing and it was still pop, but she was like.
You're telling me that there was the talk of Long Island when she went solo. It was the talk of
my high school, man. No question.
Dude, speaking of music, have you guys heard this new Cardi B song that everyone's now?
No.
Wow. Yes, of course. No. I like how this is like, this is officially like, it's a couple weeks now and it's going to be like, oh, this is such an old man. Like, have you heard this song that's really making some noise?
I don't listen to current.
You need to listen to it, Dean. So remember when we were young, like, remember the two Live Crew songs were like the whole, like, oh my God, I can't believe what they're saying. Listen to the new Cardi B song.
I've seen stuff on Twitter about it. And I've seen like, but I haven't listened to the song, so I don't know.
I heard it for the first time on Saturday and I was like, wow, a girl told me about it.
Two Live Crew. Speaking of Two Live Crew, you want a little name dropping? At the Super Bowl in Miami, I listened to this crew. Speaking of a Two Live Crew at the Super Bowl in Miami, I was hanging with Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp, and Luther Campbell in Miami.
Now I could say some very
in Miami.
I could say some rude things
sure. In Miami. Okay,
why hold back, Joe?
I got the text.
Okay.
Guess who I'm hanging out with?
There's your Chris Woodward for you. Okay.
That had to have been a really quiet crew to hang out with. Everyone didn't want to be the first to talk, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was just listening, basically.
Per usual.
Per usual. Hey, you got 2 ears and one mouth for a reason.
I like that.
Wow. Okay, Dad.
I like that a lot. I'm going to use that.
Use that, Travis. When your kids get a little older, you tell them that. You tell them Uncle Dean said so. You know what Uncle Dean always says?
Yeah.
Two ears and one mouth.
My mom called me yesterday and was like,
oh God.
Her and her husband were watching old football reruns. And now that they met you, they get so excited when you come on. Like, oh my God, there's that boy Dean, Joey's friend.
There you go. On that note, now your mom's name dropping me. There you go.
There it is. All right.
This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and on Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.